Hello and welcome to episode 96 of Speak Beastie for September 22nd, 2019. I'm Amy.
I'm Lizzie.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Helene. And we are very excited to welcome back an extremely special guest, Dan Fogler. Hi, Dan.
Woo! I am me.
Yeah.
How are you?
So I'm sure everybody already knows this, but Dan plays Jacob Kowalski in the Fantastic Beasts films. Other recent credits of his include Luke in The Walking Dead and Marvin Goldberg in The Goldbergs, among many others. So Dan, to start off, we kind of wanted to do a little bit of a get to know you, sort of kind of like a speed round with some questions that we have that you can just answer off the top of your head. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Awesome. So first of all, we want to learn a little bit more about yourself as far as like your profile for the Wizarding World. So what's your Hogwarts house?
Dan's Hogwarts house?
Yes, Dan's Hogwarts house.
I associate very much with Hufflepuff.
Yeah, Hufflepuff.
Me too. What about Ilvermorny? Have you been sorted into Ilvermorny?
I think I'm a Pugwudgie.
Me too. Oh my gosh.
You guys are twins.
Twinsies.
Yeah. I have to know now. What's your Patronus?
I have a hybrid Patronus.
Ooh.
My Patronus is a squirrel riding a dolphin.
Oh my god.
A squirrel riding a dolphin. Is it an aquatic squirrel?
No. Right, exactly. You're right. It's not a true hybrid. That would be crazy. Like a squalpin? I don't know.
That's why the squirrel is riding the dolphin, because it's not aquatic, right?
All right. Write this creature into Fantastic Beasts right now. We expect it in the third film.
Oh my god. I'm starting to get a little bit creeped out because my Patronus is also a dolphin, so it's like we're matching on everything.
You guys are best friends.
Whoa.
Amy, should we just leave?
Whoa.
I don't know. I mean, my Patronus is a squirrel, so I'm the other half of that.
What?
Oh,
no lie.
All right. Look, I'm just going to see my way out of this one.
Bye, Lizzie.
Yeah, but what's amazing. Your rising sign? See, that's what it all comes down to, the rising sign.
Now we're getting deep. I don't know.
So what about some other favorites of yours? What's your favorite food?
My favorite food of all time, which I can never eat again, is Big Ziti Sicilian from Giorgio's Pizzeria on Avenue U in Brooklyn. I don't know if it still exists, but my God, I can eat that for the rest of my life if I could, but I can't.
That sounds delicious.
It is.
I'll have to do some research. Head over to the other borough.
Yeah.
What about your favorite? Go ahead.
I was just going to describe what Big Vinny's Sicilian was.
Do it. I want to know.
We have a lot of Hufflepuffs on this call, so obviously we need this description.
Food is important.
It's like, because I can't eat anymore because I ate too much of it in my youth, but I can talk about it. So it's like, you know, the big like penne macaroni, like the big, you know, elbow macaroni, but big, you know, and then like pizza tomato sauce, and then like ricotta cheese. So much ricotta that like you're like, okay, I don't need any more ricotta for the rest of my life, but there it is inside this thing. And then it's covered, and maybe you put a little eggplant in there or a little something, you know. And then you cover it with the pizza, mozzarella pizza covering, and bake that. I'm oh my god.
That sounds life changing.
Yeah.
Like as a cheese lover, I have to say that sounds pretty remarkable. Needs more cheese. There you go.
What about your favorite animal? Do you have a favorite animal?
I do. My favorite animal, I want to say an elephant. I don't know. I like them a lot. I feel like I like elephants, and I like dolphins, and I like whales, like cetaceans. I feel like they could be, you know, they could be in Newt's case, because I feel like we're learning so much more about them, how smart they are, and how they communicate. And it's like a three-dimensional form of telepathy, you know, how they use the water to communicate. They can send, they have their own language. It's the, you know, dolphins. It's crazy, man. It's like, I don't know. So I'm very proud that I have a dolphin as my Patronus. But I feel like there's a lot to learn from it. And they're much, much smarter than we realize. You know, there's studies. How deep you guys want to get with it?
I mean,
you don't care.
You. No, that's not what we.
You know, they, what?
We care, you definitely. Like, we want to hear about it. Yeah.
Good.
Tell us the secrets.
Like, you know, we're supposed to be more in contact with these creatures on a more spiritual level, and we're not, you know, and it's not good. And we have to get, so long and thanks for all the fish, you know. You ever read any Douglas Adams or Hitchhiker's Guide or any of that?
Yeah, I haven't. No.
So, anyway, I feel like very, very intelligent species, and we should treat them that way. And we have a lot to learn from them. And in doing so, I think we could, you know, really perpetuate our own species. I feel like we're supposed to be in more contact with these creatures, simply because, you know, the whole aquatic apes theory. It's like they're closer to us than we realize. I don't know if you know about the whole aquatic ape theory, but basically it's like, how do we get our big brains? Is that they were our specific humanoid species of ape said, screw it, I don't care if there's something going to eat me, I'm going to go into the ocean, I'm going to start standing upright, and I'm going to start, because the ocean allowed them to stand upright, you know, it gave them buoyancy, and then they were able to eat fish, and that got their brains real big, and then, you know, suddenly that's a possibility for the branch off of how humans got here. So I'm just going to leave you with that. That got real deep for a second.
Yeah. I got to, like, pull myself out of
that's
that.
A lot,
like,
to think about. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. Do you have an additional 2 hours to discuss?
I know. That was just the second question. That was, like, what's your favorite?
Well, we can kind of switch gears here and the last question I'm going to ask you, but probably the most important question, in my opinion, is Yumbledore or Dumbledam?
Wait, what?
So, Jude Which, Law
yeah.
is a very, very beautiful man. And as Dumbledore in Crimes of Grindelwald, people have given him these nicknames, and one of them is Yumbledore, and the other is Dumbledam. And so we need to know which team you're on. It's a very important question.
What is it? Dumbledam.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I heard Dumbledam, and I was like, what? What are they saying about me? You know, I was like, what is that team saying? Okay, anyway. Is Dumbledore or Dumbledam?
Dumbledore.
Yumbledore or Dumbledam?
Yes.
So it's like either one. It's just like, here's the thing. Both. Can I tell you why?
Yes, please do.
Because I'm very heterosexual. But that man, has hypnotic. That man has very hypnotic, almost Kryptonian, crystalline blue eyeballs. Okay.
Yeah.
And yes. He knows it. And so when he first meets you, you know, doesn't matter who you are, he knows that you're in the tractor beam, you know? And my God, it's crazy. It's just like, you can't put sentences together. I was like, you know? I know who you are. We'll be working together. You know, he's just like, you know, he just lays on the magic inside the eyeball. So once you get used to that, like being able, like, you're like, oh, okay, he's human. I understand. He's just a human. Then you're able to like hold. I'm able to like actually hold a conversation with him, and he's super cool, man. He's fun to, you know. Next time you talk to him, just ask him to sing you a sea shanty. My God, that guy is good at sea shanty.
Yeah, guys. Next time you talk to Jude Law,
new life goal. Get Jude Law to sing you a sea shanty. That is a new life goal right there.
I love it.
I'm just saying, if he's ever on your show,
definitely making a note of that.
Yeah. You must say, Dan says, please regale us with one of your sea shanties.
I cannot wait to open that can of worms.
Oh, hey, what are you guys?
We might have to make that video call so we get the piercing blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys seeing like you're all Yumbledore, Team Yumbledore?
I'm partial to Dumble Down.
Yeah, I gotta say that's what we got too.
Mm-hmm. I am Team Yumbledore.
I feel like this has been very mutually beneficial so far. You've taught us about the whales and dolphins, and we've taught you about Yumbledore and Dumbledam and their existence in vocabulary.
Listen, that may be a question at the pearly gates. You never know.
Yeah,
you never know.
You can call him that next time you guys are filming together. See what happens.
Insert it into the script somewhere.
That would be hilarious. Dumble damn it.
And now for Owl Post.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
And now we've got some Owl Post from episode 93. The podcast question for that episode was, do you think Grindelwald is lying about Credence being a Dumbledore? Jennifer says, I really don't think Grindelwald is telling the truth. Ezra Miller said in an interview that, quote, Grindelwald's following the classic manual of people who manipulate populations of humans. It's a two-part strategy. Give someone an identity and then give them an enemy. And then she cites this. It's the Archive of Magic, page 23.
Which I don't know what book that is, but it sounds fascinating. So
I think we should read it.
It's a Crimes of Grindelwald, like, picture, like...
Okay. This, along with the timeline that makes it pretty impossible, makes me think that Grindelwald is just manipulating Credence, / Aurelius, because he thinks he's the only one who can kill Albus, / Dumbledam. I am intrigued by the theory that somehow Dumbledore and Grindelwald created Credence / Aurelius themselves, though. I just love all the speculation and theorizing in between installments.
Same.
So, Jennifer, we're actually going to hit on this topic a little later in the episode.
I know, I just like was going to bring it up. Like, wait, we haven't talked about it yet, technically.
But, I mean, yeah, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
This is my line of thinking as well. Like, he's trying to manipulate him. And I came to this conclusion after we kind of dug into this more on a previous episode. So, episode 93 to be exact, because that's what she's responding to. So,
and I mean, it really is the perfect opportunity for Grindelwald. You've got Credence, who's such a question mark in a blank canvas. Like, he doesn't know. And, like, he's not going to question it if you tell him he's got a name because he wants one so badly.
Right.
I think it's just, it's evil genius.
I just think it's too obvious for it to be a lie. We're building up Grindelwald this entire film about him being a liar, a manipulator. And then for this big twist at the end to just be another lie, it just seems too obvious. And I don't like the most simple explanation. I'm one of those people that wants it to be more complex, more like harder to explain, I guess.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I feel the exact same way. I really want to be right at this point. It's also like an ego problem at this point where I'm like, no, this is how it's going to go.
Right.
But if it does end up going this route, I'll respect Grindelwald's like gameplay, you know, like, because it's a good move. I get it. I respect it. I'm not going to like it, but I'll respect it. And that's basically where me and Grindelwald stand at this point. I don't like it, but I respect it.
I just feel like if you're going to end the entire movie on this huge plot point and then have it be wrong, it just makes me mad.
It depends on how it's done. I think it can be revealed in a way that like just adds to the layers of mystery instead of being like, oh, that was another red herring. But
and I don't think it's necessarily like a red herring or a blatant lie. I just think it's half the truth. And I think we'll get more of the truth as it goes on.
I could get behind that.
Yeah. So we're going to move into more of like our formal main discussion where we talk all things Fantastic Beasts and of course, Jacob. So let's keep this conversation rolling.
Good.
You told MuggleNet at San Diego Comic-Con that Jacob's storyline in Crimes of Grindelwald was quote-unquote heart-wrenching. Can you go more into detail on why you felt this way and what your initial thoughts were when you got that script and read that story?
Yeah, my initial thoughts were, yeah, of course, they have to be, the lovers have to be tested, you know?
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of like, you know, Han and Leia being torn apart and Han going into the carbonite is essentially her going into the fire. You know, that's where, you know, I grew up on Star Wars. So I was like, okay, yes, this is classic sequel hero's journey stuff. But in the doing of it, oh my God, like, jeez, it was really hard. It was really hard to have the, as fun as those scenes were, like it starts off fun. Where, you know, I'm under her spell and she takes me over to Newt's and we have that, you know, silly scene. And then suddenly it's like we're off the races and we're having an argument and we're instantly broken up. And then we spend the rest of the movie basically trying to find each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally when we do, you get torn apart. And, you know, when you're acting these scenes, you call upon past relationships where you really wanted things to work out and they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, God, yeah. And it's like, it's just so hard. And then you have the whole idea where the way I was playing it was like she wasn't well. You know, she's not in control of herself. That's the only way that he would be able to say, yeah, that's why she went over. She's under a spell, you know. She's, mm-hmm. you know, something, you know, she's not right, you know. This is why he says you're crazy. How could you choose walking into fire?
Yeah.
You know? You know, and so, and I, honestly, it was the very last bit of was the most heart-wrenching, which was being on the bridge to Hogwarts. And the way I was playing it was, I mean, I was just shell-shocked, and I was just looking off on the horizon, and it's like, maybe she'll come back, you know, she'll come flying back on a broomstick or something, I don't know, you know, maybe she'll, you know, that's what I'm playing in that scene. And to have everybody there without her is, oh man, that was the most heart-wrenching part.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're on this journey, it's like, leave no one behind, and we have left her behind. And it's really, gosh, that's, we lost her. And that's just hard to talk about. I'm glad that we're the second, that the next movie, when we start filming in the spring, third movie, I'm glad that the pendulum will hopefully start swinging the other way, and we're going to try and get her back. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's, I think, always the plan is to try and get her back. But,
I hope so. Yeah. I'm like sad all over again. I remember how like crushed I felt walking out of that film. I mean, like, Queenie is a hot topic, especially with this film, and especially with the rest of our hosts. We have spent many episodes talking through how she got to this point and what does that mean for her future and her relationship with Jacob and her relationship with her sister. And is there a way back, and can she be forgiven? And we do have a theory where we go back and forth and wonder if there was something in that teacup that Rosier was offering her when she was waiting for Grindelwald this first time. You know, it seemed like she didn't want to drink it, but we don't know if, like, maybe she had taken a sip before, if something happened afterward, if there was a conversation, especially how you mentioned, like maybe she was unwell, you know, some type of spell, who knows, but Queenie's just an insane hot take. Do you think that Jacob could ever forgive her?
Yeah. I think he's already forgiven her. I think he's, like, looking for her. Like, I'll take you back. I want you back, honey. You know, it's like, I think, it's kind of like Dark Phoenix in that way. I feel like she's, you know that character?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Which, I feel like she, well, you know, like someone who, It's like Credence in a lot of ways. He doesn't realize how powerful he is. She doesn't realize how powerful she is. I feel like she's probably one of the more powerful than Grindelwald. Like, I feel, you know, I feel like he's and he senses this. Like, that's his ability. He collects the most powerful. And so I feel like, man, she's dealing with this. And you see it in the second movie. She's not in control of this ability to hear all of these voices in her head.
Yeah.
It's too much for her. So that is either going to drive someone crazy, or she's going to get really fucking good at it, you know? And, you know what I mean? And then that could be very scary, very powerful telepath. And so, you know, where she's just reading everyone's thoughts from across the world.
Yeah, she has.
That can't be. Yeah.
She has that scene where she thinks she hears Jacob's voice, and then she starts to hear everyone else's thoughts, and she essentially breaks down. And again, that's when Rosier really comes into the picture. So definitely, you know, she has a power, she has a gift that Grindelwald does not. And if Grindelwald wants to move forward and become more powerful, then it's exactly like you're saying, he needs to have that tapped into his side, into his system.
And we know from Harry Potter that Legilimensy is very beneficial to the dark arts too. I mean, Voldemort uses it. So do we think that Grindelwald is kind of realizing that on his way here? Do we think also, it seems like we're seeing different a different form of Legilimensy with Queenie than what was described to us in the books? Do we think that there's more to her abilities that will kind of be unlocked in the future?
Right, exactly. She's like a natural Legilimensy, which, like, whoa, what the hell does that mean? That's the power that needs to be supposed to be honed, right? And learned, right? And she just knows how to do it.
Also at San Diego Comic-Con, we learned that you were really close to receiving the script for the third film. Have you gotten it? Is there anything you can say? Any emotions? Like, can you describe it in one word? Do you have anything? And we also are so fully aware that you probably can't say anything. We just feel obligated to ask.
I haven't seen anything yet. Okay. They're still working on it. We're supposed to get it really soon. But I heard that what is completed of it is wonderful. I mean, that's what I heard, and they're very happy. So
yay!
That's all.
Yay!
I can say.
Quickly before we get too far away from the topic of Queenie, I do want to know what your thoughts are on her putting Jacob under a love potion type spell.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
that's like a microcosm of why she chooses to go to Grindelwald's side.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, she's very particular. And I don't think she takes no for an answer. I think that because she knows what everyone's thinking, and she knows every single angle, and she knows how things are going to work out, and she just is just like, you know what, I'm just going to make this happen, and it'll turn out how it turns out, you know, and, mm-hmm. and everything will be great. And so she makes these decisions, like, and then she's very particular, and Jake is very practical, so he's like, you know, this is great, let's just keep on going like this, and let me get some money together with the bakery, and you know, then we can go off and get married in secret, you know, like a whole, like, very, you know, and never
got a whole plan.
It, you know, like a whole thing. And she's like, no, let's just do it now. Let's elope. Let's do it. And so she is like, oh, stop it. You know, I'm just gonna put a spell on you, and then we'll just get this done. And we'll be married, and everything will be great. You know, that's I feel like she like means well.
Yeah, she's just trying to speed up the process that he's like voluntarily participating in.
And hey, wouldn't you if you had magic? If you had magic at your fingertips, wouldn't you do it? You know, this is taking too long. Let me just get to the front of this line. But wouldn't you do that?
I did that today after work. I was like, I have to get home for something, so I'm gonna cut people off. Sorry.
and you just apparated at the front of the phone booth.
Yes.
what's crazy is like, so you can't really blame her. And then it's the same exact reason that she goes over to Grindelwald. She's like, screw it. You don't want to come with me. I'm going to go over to the dark side. I'm going to make it okay for us to get married, you dummy. And then I'm going to come back and marry you, you know, whatever. I'm hoping that Jacob is thinking in the back of his head. Yeah.
So going off of that, I'm wondering, because you had mentioned a little bit earlier the possibility of her being under a spell. So there's this debate that's going on about whether or not she is under some kind of spell, or if her joining Grindelwald, like on her own accord, is a way of showing how manipulative and how convincing he can be. So what do you think it is? Do you think she's under a spell, or do you think she went over to that side on her own to do what she thinks is right?
I think it's both. I think that he's intoxicating, that he is just, his aura is hypnotizing. And so she's hypnotized by him, just like that whole crowd is. And you can't go through that flame. He says you have to be a true believer, you know, in order to make it to the other side. And she must truly believe in his cause.
Good point. Yeah. This has given me a lot of food for thought.
I know. So
it's seductive, you know. His cause is like, there's a lot about it that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's okay, you know. It's like, yeah, there's a stipulation. The wizards must be in charge of the world. But that could produce a possible utopia where everybody and anybody is allowed to love and freely, you know, do whatever they want to do. Or it could be chaos, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. That's like why he's so dangerous, is because some of what he says is like, oh, that kind of makes sense. It's not like, with Voldemort where you're like, you know, what you're saying is just pure evil, so we're going to go with no.
Right, exactly. No, Grindelwald, you know, he says publicly that he doesn't hate Muggles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a use for them.
How then, much, you know, he means, you know.
But the bat, you know, in his mind, he's saying as slaves.
Right.
But they would be slaves with benefits.
That might be the episode title.
Do you think, how you were saying, you know, you really have to mean it and be a true believer in order to cross over? For those that were perishing in that blue fire, do you think that means they're dead or they're now imprisoned? Do you think they, like, basically, I'm just curious if you think Leeta is alive, like, hot take. Just curious.
Literally so curious about this.
Wow. I mean, I don't know what the... I
know. Magic, right?
I thought they turned to... I think they turned to... Don't they turn to ashes? I mean, I don't know what that means to you.
Optical illusion.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'll call up the CGI guy.
I'm just trying to get you and Zoe Kravitz more on my screen together. That's really what I'm trying to do here.
I'm in denial, and I don't want Leeta to be dead, so this is how I explain everything away, basically.
Right.
I was just going to say, you know, if you just show up to the first day of filming and Zoe Kravitz is there, you'll know.
There's our answer. There's such things as flashbacks, though.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
I love Zoe, man. I think, she's super cool. I hope they bring her back. That would be amazing. Have her around more.
I agree.
Seconded.
Filming Crimes of Grindelwald, since we haven't talked to you since, are there any fun anecdotes or any good stories from the set that you can share? Anything memorable?
Oh, from Crimes of Grindelwald?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You got one?
Okay, so you know that scene, and it's a very intense scene. It's like, it's Shakespearean. It's like its own, like, play, where they're talking about how the babies were switched in the tomb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to, you know, they're like,
yeah, the one that confused everyone for 5 years. Yes, that scene.
Even though the movie hasn't been out for 5 years.
So you notice that basically I'm just standing in the back there. I positioned myself exactly where I needed to be so I could slip out, you know, the door. Because basically it was just us listening. You know, it was us. So I had a really nice statue to lean on. And man, you know, that's a 20-minute scene. That's like Shakespeare, okay? And they would, you know, that was a scene. So you can imagine if you're shooting that over and over and over again, and you have literally nothing to do but just stand there.
Oh God.
You know, it's really good to be able to like swivel away conveniently behind the statue. And just like wipe some sweat away and then swivel right back in, you know.
Have a snack.
Have a little
tweet a little bit.
Little Scooby. Exactly, a little Scooby snack. What's funny is there was kind of a bit that came out of it because it was almost like an SNL bit because Credence, Ezra is there and he breaks in every once in a while. He like says, wait, hold on. Wait, I'm Corvus, you know? and then Willie says, yes. And then Zoe says, no, you know, and he talks about it a couple of times, you know? So there were a couple times where I just thought it would be hysterical if maybe in an SNL sketch down the line, that scene is reenacted, and Ezra does it. Wait, hold on. I'm Corvus, and then I was like, no, and they continue with it. and then like after like 2 minutes, like I swivel out from behind the statue, and I'm just like, wait, hold on, I'm Corvus, and they're like, no. Like a, and then, you know, Eddie, everybody gets a chance, you know, Eddie, Catherine.
And then, like, Newt pops in, and he's like, wait, I'm Corvus?
I'm Corvus.
Like, yeah, who's on third, but with Corvus Lestrange?
Exactly.
That's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, that was the end of that story.
It's a great story.
It's a good one.
Thank you. Hold on. I'm Corvus.
Do you think Credence is really a Dumbledore?
Oh. No?
I mean, that's what they were telling us, as far as I know.
Are you gonna get in trouble for saying that?
As far as I know, I don't know. But what do you think? Someone flipped him a phoenix? Like, someone, like, put a phoenix in his body? What do you think?
Yeah, we're having trouble figuring that one out.
Yeah.
It's another hot debate.
Yeah.
That will cover us through, like, the next 2.5 years till we get film 3.
800 days, to be specific.
Yes. Some of us have some very strong opinions on as to whether or not we believe he is actually Dumbledore.
There's a lot of theories.
Is that because it's like an... I don't understand. Why don't you think he's...
Well, timelines don't add up, first of all.
I think he is because I like to believe the writers. But there's a lot
I think he is because then I wonder what was the point of film 2. I mean, I love film 2. Love Crimes of Grindelwald. Love it. Really do. But, like, if he's not, the whole plot was who is Credence? That would just be mean.
Well,
to, like,
but it makes sense that Grindelwald would try and manipulate him and make him think that he's a Dumbledore in order to target Albus.
Right.
When in reality, he's just like a lost kid.
A lot of people think that Grindelwald is lying, but there are those people out there that are like, why would they lie about him being a Lestrange just to turn around and lie that he's a Dumbledore?
I still think it's something to do with the Obscurus. And yeah. I think that that's the connection between the Dumbledores and Credence. I don't think it's a blood connection. So it's something else.
What do you think, Dan?
Crap. I just...
We just blew your mind.
He's like, you guys need to think about something else for a while.
I took that ending for, like, literally. I mean, that he's the long lost brother.
Ha, he's on my team, guys.
Yeah. I got Dan on my side.
We'll see. We'll see about this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't worry. We can. How about a nice lighthearted question? Do you have a new favorite beast from this film? Wait, hold on.
Here's the thing about JK is that, you know, it's her universe. She can do whatever the heck she wants. I mean, we can find out that there's, like, you know, 20 lost Dumbledores, you know, like, maybe pop up, you know what I mean? Whatever she wants.
Yeah, it's true.
And listen, you want to talk about timelines? How can you talk about timelines when time turners exist?
Oh, you don't want to start that.
Oh, gosh. We hadn't even factored a time turner into that equation. Oh, God.
Super sore subject.
Just in case Cursed Child wasn't enough, we present Time Turners, Part 3.
Hey, those things were a bad invention, so it makes sense that they mess everything up.
True. Did you guys see the play? Did you see Cursed Child?
Yeah. I'm seeing it next month.
I mean,
most of us have seen it, except Helene.
I've not seen it yet, but they have.
I mean, it's like, it's a huge theme is the time turner.
Yeah. Definitely a thing.
And parallel universes and having to fix them. And so, you know, anything can happen.
This is very true. Lizzie, did you have another question you were asking?
Yes. Something nice and light and airy. Do you have a new favorite beast from this past film? So we have the Zowu, Kelpie, the Matigo, Antonio, which is the capybara, and the augury.
The capybara. The capybara is that really cute rat from South America. Antonio's the chupacabra.
Oh!
You just invented a new one. It's fine.
We meant chupacabra. Jacob had a nice little scene with the augury in the film. So that's.
Yeah, he was just like, get off of my back. Who does he like? Who do I like? I like that Zhou Wu. I think he's pretty awesome. Like,
just a giant
idea
cat.
That but like a living version of one of those, you know, Chinese dancing dragons, you know. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love how he was like just a big cat that was like, just give me some catnip and a big ball of yarn and he'll be happy, you know.
Yeah.
So like but he could destroy your entire house if he wanted to, or run across the world. I like that one. What about you guys?
That is also my favorite, personally.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big cat person.
I'm still stuck on the moon calves.
I gotta go with the baby nifflers.
I know, moon calves.
And the baby nifflers were cute too.
Oh, fast.
Baby nifflers are adorable. I'm scared of nifflers.
Well, that's fair, given what you've been through.
Yeah, exactly.
How did they shoot the baby nifflers? Was there anything there, or is it just like, pretend there's a baby niffler?
Right. They have, what did they have? They had just little, I think they had us wing it.
Okay.
Wow. They really trusted us. I don't know what Eddie probably had something for that scene where he's by himself and he's catching all of the nifflers in his pocket.
Were they throwing hamsters at him or anything?
Throwing hamsters at him?
Yeah, little green screen hamsters. Yeah. Little hamsters and green screen. They had hamsters in full green screen unitard. Running around.
I could actually like vision that, so.
Yep.
They're cute.
Very cute.
So, do we have time for one last question? Do we think?
Yes, you do.
So we're thinking, we're going to this third film, right? And you're essentially at the halfway point of the series. What does that feel like? Are you, you know, gearing up for being halfway through, and does it feel any different than any of the other movies that you've done so far?
Especially since when all of you initially signed up, well, maybe you were told it was five, who knows, but we were told, we thought we were getting one, and then we found out we were getting five. Then we were like, oh, okay.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow. We learned about five in a crazy way too.
Really?
Because we all signed up for four.
Oh.
So we're standing on sitting on stage.
That was when you found out too?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh my god.
Okay, it was crazy. So we're at the first press conference, we're sitting on stage and you know, with David Heyman and David Yates, I assume they knew. I don't know if they knew. But JK walks out and everyone is like, yay, JK! And the first question is, how many are there going to be? And she looks around and she goes, five. And everyone's like, if you've seen the video from that day, like, everyone's eyes are like saucers. We're like, really? Oh,
that's the first we're hearing about it.
So that was crazy. But and now being in number three, or about to do number three, it's wild. Like I grew up when the blockbuster was invented, you know, when sequels were invented. So I've never been in that was my first sequel, you know, Crimes of Grindelwald. So this will be my first
Trio?
This is gonna be my first third film, which is it's amazing to be able to continue a character and then grow with it. And it's like it's a living entity. And it's very surreal. But it's just a huge privilege to be part of something like this. Like, you know, I grew up on Indiana Jones and Star Wars and man,
can you believe like exciting. You're already there? Like sometimes I look back and I can't believe we're already two films in. Like it feels like I blinked and now I'm here.
Yeah, it is. It's like your child, you know, you feel like that. Yeah, I can't believe how fast the time goes.
Are you allowed to tell us if you have since been contracted for 5 movies, or is the 5th movie just going to be The Beasts, or do you have any idea?
What did you just say?
I said, is the 5th movie just going to be The Nifflers, or have you guys all been contracted for 5 movies, if you're allowed to tell us?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm going to let you guess. You think the last movie is going to be all Nifflers?
Yes.
I just hope they don't kill you. Like, we're not speaking into existence. Like, we just don't want any of you to die.
Or it's just a Niffler movie.
Right.
And everyone lives happily ever after.
It's like a Minion movie, but with Nifflers.
I was just going to say, it's Despicable Me all over again.
Listen, I will be there. I already have my Baby Niffler t-shirt. Like, I'm good. I'll be right there.
Listen, I'm gonna be niffling right next to you. I mean, I'm just gonna be like
niffling.
Loving the all Niffler movie, and then it just spins off into 1,000 friggin' Niffler movies.
I'm here for it. I would buy a ticket for that.
And then it's Niffler for president. Then we're off to the races.
Yeah.
Welcome to Kowalski's Corner. What brings you here?
So, Dan, before we let you go, do you have anything other than the 3rd movie coming up that you want to plug? Like, any projects? Do you want to talk about your podcast at all?
Yeah, I got Dan Fogler 4D Experience Podcast, which is really fun. I like doing it. And there's a lot more crazy stories on that one.
Nice.
And we get into some wild stuff. And I'm actually thinking, well, wait, this is Leaky. This is Leaky Cauldron, right? That's what we're doing right now, right? And then it's good, right? That's what we're doing? Hello?
Are you talking about LeakyCon coming up?
LeakyCon. Are you guys going to be there?
I unfortunately am not, but I think, are any of you guys going to LeakyCon?
No.
Bummer.
NYCC, New York Comic Con, though.
Okay, I'll be at New York Comic Con. I'm going to be at a bunch of cons.
Well, you should come on over to our party that we're going to be having that Saturday night. Welcome to
that
20th anniversary bash.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I'm probably going to be doing my own parties there at that one, too, and we'll party hop. It'll be great.
Yeah. If you wander over to the Hard Rock in Times Square, we'll be there.
Awesome.
Come party with
us. Sounds great. So I'm going to be at a bunch of different cons. I'm going to be in Boston at LeakyCon. And then there's another one coming up in Portland, which is also a Leaky event with some Potter folks there. So we'll see what happens with that.
Nice.
And then what else am I doing? I got The Walking Dead, season 10. That's going to come out in October.
That's exciting.
I got a lot going on with this season, which is really, I really like it a lot. And what else? I make comic books and do all sorts of stuff. I write things. I'm doing a movie called Spinning Gold, which is about Casablanca Records. It's like, if you like the music from the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah. I was starting to read about that.
Yeah. That is happening, and then that's about it. I think it. Oh, Goldberg's going to be on the Thanksgiving episode.
Awesome.
So that's what's going on.
Sounds like a few things that you have going on,
keeping you nice and busy.
I like to stay busy. Keeps my mind active.
So that's it for this very special episode. And this week's podcast question, do you think Queenie is under a spell, or is she convinced by Grindelwald? We'd love to hear your thoughts, so make sure you drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or send us an email at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And while you're on the internet or your mobile device or just hanging out with nothing else to do, consider leaving the show a review on iTunes. It helps us get new listeners, helps us continue to learn what you like about the show, and, you know, in general, we love feedback. So thanks.
It builds our street cred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can contact us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, on Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/SpeakBeastie. We love our Patreon supporters. You guys really help to keep us going and keep the podcast going so we can continue to talk about all these wonderful movies and delve into discussion and get very sidetracked. our Patreon supporters really help us out, so thank you all. And when he's not on the silver screen portraying one of our favorite muggles, you can find Dan on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Dan Fogler. And you can also look up Dan's podcast, Dan Fogler's 4D Experience, wherever you find podcasts.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Amy.
I'm Lizzie.
I'm Helene.
I'm Megan.
I'm Dan. Case closed.